shine, whatever it is, everything is greatly appreciated. And so praise the Lord for that. Okay. If you weren't here at the beginning this morning and you're wondering what this strange image is on the screen, it's from the Olympic opening ceremony that was just maybe a couple of days ago. Probably I would guess most people watching at the time didn't really think anything of it. But as you can see, this is a direct act designed to mock the Lord's Supper. Okay, so in a huge international ceremony like the Olympics, this was designed to mock the Lord Jesus Christ and God himself. And so we just mentioned that at the beginning. We spoke from Psalm 2, how God will not be mocked, and everybody needs to kiss the Son. Everybody needs to come to Jesus, amen? Because if they don't, they are subject to the wrath of God. And so we pray for these people that took part in that. We pray for the people that planned it. And we pray that they would come to know the Lord, amen? And so that's all we have to say about that. So if we want to flick on. So this morning, if you have a Bible, I'm going to preach in a slightly different way in terms of, and we'll be a bit more topical today, so not kind of focusing on one kind of chunk of scripture, but just one or two verses this morning. And I want to talk to you about this topic of the power of God to his church. Okay, we've sang this morning, and I really love this, that now really we don't, in a good way, we don't really communicate too much between the preacher in the church and the band in terms of the first sort of set of worship. As long as we're worshiping Christ, worshiping the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, we're okay with that. But often, more than often, what will happen is that the theme of the sermon will come out in there, and the Lord blesses that. And so we've sung this morning about in the power of Christ, our stand in Christ alone. We've sung this morning and prayed to the Lord, pour out your power and your love. Pour out your power and your love. And so we've very much encountered and seen in our sung worship this morning the power of God. And so let us pray this morning before we read from Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19. Lord, we just come before you right now, and we just declare, Lord, that what a precious moment this is to have the honor and privilege to come to this place today so freely as we have done, Lord, to worship you and to hear from your word this morning. And so, Lord, we pray that as your word goes out in this place, let it not return void, but let it accomplish every last little thing that you have set it forth to do. Father, we thank you for your power. And Lord, as we unpack these scriptures, Lord, let us know that your power is for your people. It is for your church. And so, Lord, we bless you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And so Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19, as part of a three-point prayer of the Apostle Paul to the church there. Paul's prayer for the church is that they may know his, so God's, incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength, moving into verse 20, he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. And so first of all, what we know about the power of God is that it is to us as his people, but only to those who believe, amen? So he doesn't give his power to non-believers. He doesn't give his power to those who do not yet know him through the Lord Jesus Christ. His power comes to us who believe, amen? And his power is incomparably great. There is no other example of any power in the world that is greater than the power of God himself. There is no more power or examples of power in the whole universe Because God created it out of nothing, by the way. That is greater than the power that God himself has and owns and gives to his church. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. So this same power that comes to us as believers, as those who are saved in Christ, is the same power. It's not a different power. It is exactly the same power that raised Christ from the dead. From being dead and buried to a bodily resurrection. That is what God can do and more with the power that he has entrusted to us as his people. And so the Lord God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is the loving, holy, faithful, and unchangeable creator, sustainer, ruler, savior, judge, and sovereign Lord and King of the world that he loves. There is nothing and nobody more powerful. He has supreme power and authority. And everybody said, amen. And everybody said again, a bit more enthusiastically, amen. Well done. Praise the Lord. Let's have a look very briefly at the power of God. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The power of God created the whole universe. What we can see and what we can't see has been created by him. That is how powerful he is. How many people do you know or things do you know that have brought something into existence out of nothing? You will not find it because only God has that power. Amen. Psalm 17:14, God has the power to destroy. Psalm 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Psalm 29, 4, the voice, so the very voice of God is powerful. The Psalms elsewhere talk about God's power as being mighty, rescuing power, victorious, great, and royal power. In Exodus 32:11, it tells us that he brought his people out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand. How many of you need the power of God right now to bring you out of a particular situation? Is that resonating in the room today? Well, if he did it for the millions of people of Israel, then maybe, just maybe, he would do it for you today. Amen? This is the power of God. Mark 12:24. Jesus spoke of the power of God and his kingdom. Matthew 4 and verse 23. Jesus healed every disease and sickness among the people. As we read the Gospels, we read of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is King of kings and Lord of lords, who stilled the storms. Amen? He resisted the temptation of the devil. He drove out demons. He performed miracles. And by the power of God, he endured suffering and pain, hostility, persecution, and death on a cross. Because you know, God's power is not just for us who believe to do miracles and healings and signs and wonders and to infuse us with power to share the gospel. But God's power, very importantly today for us to understand, is also for us in our times of suffering. Amen? Amen? How many of you know the power of God that has upheld you in your time of suffering? The power of God that has exerted the very strength that you need in your time of suffering and challenge and difficulty. Yet, God's incomparably great power was exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Ephesians 3:20, the end of the verses we read this morning. The right hand of the Father in the heavenly realms. It is the greatest place of power and authority that exists in the whole universe. And Jesus is there. Your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is there in that very place right now. So what do we have to fear? Amen? What do we have to worry about? What do we have to panic about? Because Jesus is seated next to the Father on the throne. Amen? And so we're talking today about the power of God to his church. And I want us to just focus now on two very particular things. And the first one is this. It is the gospel message. The power of God to his church, the power of God to us as believers, partly comes to us in the gospel message. Okay? Come with me to Romans chapter 1 and verses 16 to 17. Paul says here, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God." So the gospel itself, the gospel message, is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, and this is where the power is, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. And so when we think about the word gospel, we're thinking about good news, a proclamation, a telling, a sharing of good news. And now that proclamation, telling, and sharing could be good news about anything. It could be about a graduation success, amen? It could be about a birthday. It could be about anything that we think is good news. Yet here what we're told in the scripture is that God has given to us his good news about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. And so we are the ones who are entrusted with a different kind of good news, the ultimate good news that everybody needs to know. I know you don't want to hear this, Terence, but not everybody needs to know about your graduation success, okay? But everybody needs to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, and what he has done. And so this is a different kind of good news. It is the ultimate good news, the good news of what God has done through Jesus Christ. And here what we do is we need to think about what is this good news. When we go out on the streets as a church, and even as an individual, I carry these tracts. And so one of them is just so simple. It's the four-point gospel, and it looks like that. And so what it tells people is that God loves them. So John 3:16, for God so loved the world, amen? It is a fact that whatever our condition, wherever we are at in life, God loves us. Yet we all share in the same problem. We're all on a level playing field in terms of our separation from God, because we've sinned, amen? Because we've rebelled against him, we've rejected him and his ways on various different levels at various different times by the way we think and the things we say and the things that we do. And so that's what that second cross means. But then we go into the good news that Jesus died and rose again so that all of that could be set right, so that you could be free from the wrath of God for your sin, that you could move from an unpeaceful relationship with God to one of great and almighty peace. But you have to make a decision about Jesus. That's the belief, isn't it? That's the faith. And so we use these. And then there's the four smiles. Won't go too much into this, but it says a similar thing. God has a purpose for your life. God loves you no matter how you've lived up to this point. Jesus paid the penalty for your wrongdoing. Today is your day to choose Jesus. And so the good news is telling, sharing, proclaiming that news with people. And when we do, it has power to release people from darkness and into light, from an ungodly life into a godly life, and so on and so forth. Amen? That is the power that we have in the gospel message. And so God's power is shown through the gospel message that he has entrusted to us as his church that we need to share. So when George was on Zoom about a month ago now, all the way to Bangladesh, George, just raise a hand so people know who I'm talking about. So George is also an outright evangelist, okay? And so he made a connection with Bangladesh. He's on Zoom. And there is a village that has gathered, people of all ages that have gathered on this Zoom call. And as George begins to share the good news of Jesus Christ, the power of God is released. And I think it was 74 people of all different ages responded to the gospel message and gave their lives to Jesus Christ. That is the power of the gospel, amen? Many of you in the room today, especially those of you from parts of Africa, when you've applied for membership, I've noticed that you've come to faith through crusades that were held in your country, yes? Billy Graham, Reinhard Bonnke, so on and so forth, great evangelists who preached the gospel to the nations, and millions of people have been saved because the power of God works through the gospel. When me and George were in the city centre a few weeks ago on the missions week, and we came across a Sri Lankan man who was shuffling through the city centre, he declared to us that he'd had 20 years of knee pain and it had crippled him to the point where he was just shuffling. He couldn't even lift his legs. And as George began to share the gospel in the Tamil language, it released something of the power of God for salvation for that man. And then when we laid hands on his knee and we prayed for the power of God and the Spirit to come and bring healing, I felt something tangibly move on the inside of his knee as though it reconstructed itself. And the man got up and he began to lift his legs, and he put his crutch to one side, and he just kept walking and walking and walking and walking because he'd come to faith by the power of God. The power of God was moving and working through the proclamation of the gospel. And we could go on, we could go on. Leighton, who we baptized a couple of weeks ago, shared the gospel with him over a year ago at the Centre Project Barbecue on Charles Street. Little did I know, he then started to go to church with his grandma. Long story short, he attended another barbecue here about a month ago, heard the gospel afresh, and gave his life to Christ, and we baptized him 2 weeks ago on a Thursday afternoon. Praise the Lord. The gospel has the power of God to release people. Sharing the gospel message is the obligation and privilege of every Christian. Every Christian. Not just those who are known to be outright evangelists, not just those who have the title of pastor or minister, but every single one of us has the privilege and the obligation of the gospel message that we are to share. And so, what are you doing with the gospel message that is being entrusted to you? What are you doing with the gospel message that is being entrusted to you? What are we doing as a church with the gospel message that has been entrusted to us? If we really believe that the gospel message has the power to bring salvation to a person, to rip them out of the very clutches of the devil and his demons and evil and darkness, and bring them into the very light that is Christ, if we really believe that, then what are we doing with it? What are we doing with the gospel message? Let's move on. Number two, Holy Spirit. So the power of God to the church, the gospel message, Holy Spirit. They go together, really. I remember when we went to, we're on holiday in Bournemouth, and we're on the beach, and we'd taken three dogs with us. We had our two British bulldogs, and we had a Rottweiler with us, which belonged to Laura's sister. They all got on nice and friendly. We're on the beach in Bournemouth, and there were different reactions from every single one of those three dogs to the sea. So the Rottweiler, crazy, loopy dog, just went straight into the sea and started swimming really out far to the point where you couldn't rescue her if she was drowning. Just crazy, just straight out swimming in the depths of the sea. The stupider one of the two bulldogs, Eva her name is, she's a bit daft, bless her. She went into the water. She didn't want to go out too far. And what happened is when a wave came, it took her right under, and all I saw was this 25-kilogram bulldog doing that in the waves. But she was in. And she's so daft that although she was traumatized, she went back and did it a second time. The third dog, which was ours, so Esme, the other British bulldog, she was about 50 meters away from the sea, petrified and shaking to death. You see the three different responses to the sea. And I think in the church today, and even here, we have different responses to the Holy Spirit, don't we? We have those who have a deep and great desire to go out deep, deeper and wider and longer with the Holy Spirit of God. We have those of us that are sort of in the middle where we're kind of just dipping our toe in and we're trying to work it all out and trying to kind of stay afloat, as it were, with everything that's said and everything we're experiencing. But then there's those of us that are right at the back. We don't want anything to do with the whole, don't talk about the Holy Spirit. Don't talk about the Holy Spirit. We don't want any of that Holy Spirit stuff today. The problem with that is that in order to be biblical and in order to be a truly empowered church for the Lord God and to do his will and work in the world, we must have the Holy Spirit. And we must allow the Holy Spirit to do what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And when we don't, we're in big trouble. When we put boulders in the stream that is flowing of the Holy Spirit, we are resisting the very work of God in our lives and in this church. And that is a bad place to be, amen? That is a bad place to be. We must do it with wisdom, of course, and knowledge and understanding and all of that. But think about Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit comes on the day of Pentecost. It all looked a little bit strange and weird, didn't it? So sometimes when the Spirit comes in power, it might look a little bit strange and weird, but be very careful that you don't dismiss it as not of God, just because it looks a little bit strange and weird. If you've read the Bible, things get a little bit strange and weird, amen? Especially when the Holy Spirit comes and moves and works. And so there are 50 or so roles and responsibilities of the Holy Spirit that are mentioned or indicated in the Bible. I've summarized them for you. He speaks through us. He guides us, especially into all truth. He helps us, teaches us. He reminds us of Jesus' teachings. He convicts us. He speaks to us. He gives us divinely enabled abilities. He enables bold preaching. He gives us instructions and directions for mission. He pours out the love of God into our hearts. He intercedes for us in prayer. He distributes spiritual gifts amongst believers as he chooses, and then he activates those gifts in our lives. He gives life. He is a mark of our freedom in God that has been given to us in Christ. He transforms us. He marks our new birth in Christ. He leads us. He produces fruit, the characteristics of Christ in us as believers. He strengthens us in our inner being. He fills us, inspires us, sanctifies us, helps us to look after what God has given us. He renews and renovates and refreshes us. He testifies to us of the goodness and faithfulness of God. And there's more, but I'm out of breath, so we'll stop. Hallelujah. But really importantly, Ephesians 1:13. Very quickly, running through these big points, but try to be very quick. Ephesians 1:13. The Holy Spirit indwells believers. He lives inside of us. If we know Christ, if we have wholeheartedly given our lives to Christ, we are born again by the Holy Spirit, John chapter 3, and he has come to live on the inside of us, to indwell us. You were also included in Christ when you heard the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is proof of God's ownership on your life. If God does not truly own you, and if you haven't truly been born again, you do not have the Holy Spirit of God in you. You do not receive the Holy Spirit of God when you just walk into a church building. You do not receive the Holy Spirit of God when you put loads of money into the offering, amen. You do not receive the Holy Spirit of God just because you think you can speak it into existence. You do not receive the Holy Spirit of God unless you have made a decision to make Christ your Lord and Savior, and the Spirit has moved and worked to make you spiritually born again. He is the very proof of your salvation. He fills believers, Ephesians 5:18. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we can see that there is a connection there of being filled with the Spirit when we sing praises to the Lord. When we sing praises to the Lord. This is why we do some of what we do, some of what you've experienced this morning when we've been singing. We're not just singing from the point of A to the end of the song, the point of Z. We're trying to see what the Spirit is doing as we sing, amen? Because there's a connection of being filled with the Spirit when we sing. When we give thanks, verse 20, there's a connection of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit empowers believers. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When we share the gospel message, we want to be empowered by the Holy Spirit of God, amen? Empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. Here we go. It is the same Holy Spirit who was received by the early church, who we have, and who still empowers believers today. It is the same Holy Spirit by which Jesus Christ, in power, healed, delivered, raised from the dead, restored, and ministered to those around him. It was Paul's prayer for the Ephesians church in 3:16 that out of his glorious riches, God may strengthen them with power through his Spirit in their inner being. It is the same Holy Spirit who empowers us to share the gospel message with those around us. Church, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. The church at large needs the power of the Holy Spirit. We cannot possibly do what the Lord is calling us to do without the power of the Holy Spirit. If there is anything that we are doing as a church or in our lives that does not require the power of the Holy Spirit, then it needs to go in the name of Jesus. Because otherwise, it's not for us. It's not the church's business. We are the empowered, enabled, and equipped people of God to win souls and make disciples for the Lord Jesus Christ through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. So have you received the Holy Spirit? What are you doing with the power that is in you by the Holy Spirit? What are you doing? What are we doing with the power that is in us as his church by the Holy Spirit? What are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing with the power that God has given to his church? I wonder how we might respond to that this morning. I wonder if somebody could just alert Dora to come back. That would be wonderful. Why don't we stand to our feet this morning if we're able to? Maybe shake off a little bit. You've probably noticed by now that what I have in my notes is not necessarily what comes out. But we trust that the Lord is moving and working, amen. As we praise his holy name. I just want you to begin to just place yourself before the Lord right now in the name of Jesus. And just begin to ask him to show you what you are to do with the gospel message that has been entrusted to you. Begin to ask him that he might show you who and how you might be able to share that gospel message that has been entrusted to you. When we share the gospel message, it is always in different contexts, at different times, with different people. But as long as it indicates the things that Christ has done for us, we can share the gospel in 30 seconds if we want to. We can have a 2-hour-long conversation sat next to somebody if we want to. It can be shared in different ways, but ask the Lord to show you how and who you might do that with. And if you feel that this morning you need a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit, why don't you just begin to ask the Lord for that as well? And even symbolically, if you feel like doing it, just hold out your hands as though you're going to receive something this morning. And just begin to ask the Lord to fill you afresh with his Holy Spirit, to empower you for the challenges that you're facing in life right now, to empower you and to embolden you to share the gospel message. Whether it's from a platform speaking to 10,000 people or whether it's with the neighbor over the garden fence or the colleague on the desk next to you at work, ask for his emboldening and his empowering to share the gospel message. And so, Holy Spirit, as we sing now, we've seen in your word that our singing is connected with being filled afresh with the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, as we sing now, we pray that you would come in power. We pray, Lord, that you would come, that you would come, that you would come. And that, Lord, for those who so desire this morning, we pray for a fresh filling of your Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. We pray for a great refreshing in this place today, Lord, of your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, would you come and do what you want to do and what only you can do? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us sing together this morning.